You're listening to the Sunday podcast brought to you by lifeteen.com, a reflection on the upcoming Sunday Catholic Mass readings. And now your host, the Bible geek, Mark Hart.
Greetings, my brothers and my sisters in Christ. We're taking a look at the 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Our first reading comes from Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 10. Our psalm response from Psalm 15, verses 2 through 5. Our second reading, St. Paul's letter to the Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through 28. And St. Luke rolls out our gospel once again this week from chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. I don't remember a lot from Hamlet. I remember the movie better than I remember reading it in high school. I don't remember necessarily all the characters. I do remember a few. One line that always sticks out from Hamlet, one of the most often repeated lines, quoted lines, is "to be or not to be." That is the question. Now, why do I bring up Hamlet? Well, because school will be starting soon for many of the teens listening to this, and I just wanted to send that shiver of fear down your spine. But I also wanted to remind anyone listening that that really is the question of Christianity, to be or not to be. The problem is that for most of us, especially many of you listening to this podcast who are very involved in your faith, most likely involved in ministries at your parish, the being can quickly become doing. It becomes all the things that we do for the Lord, especially people who work in ministry. Look at all I've done for the Lord. Look at all the things that we try to do for the kingdom. And certainly those things are great, and the Lord appreciates all that we try to do to build a kingdom on earth. But the problem becomes that oftentimes the doing can replace the being. Our prayer is replaced by doing ministry. Our time just spent in the presence of the Lord is replaced by doing ministry, doing things in His name. The problem is that if we don't spend more time being than doing, if we don't spend more time in His presence than just trying to offer His presence to other people, everything gets backwards, and we're not necessarily offering Christ to people anymore. We're offering ourselves. And the reason I bring this up is that these readings this week really are about presence, about learning how to be present to God, because He is present to us. He is eternally present to us in Jesus Christ. In this first reading, you have the story of Abraham and Sarah. And Abraham and Sarah are there, and all of a sudden they have this kind of divine appointment, these three sort of mysterious angelic-type men coming towards the tent. And as Abraham goes out to meet them, you see this incredible scene of hospitality where he comes in and tells Sarah, "Hey, prepare this food. We have to get the choice steer. We have to take care of these guys." And all of a sudden, these messengers, these men, are going to give them a very important message. And they're going to tell Sarah that a year from now, she's going to have a son. Now, you can't forget, Sarah is old and barren, and they're reassuring her and telling her that this prophecy that they had received, that they were going to have a son, is certainly going to come true. But we can't lose sight of what happened. Abraham was present to these men coming to the tent. He was aware of them, and then he showed hospitality to them. He honored the presence of God in them. Keep that in mind for a second. Head on to the second reading. In the second reading, St. Paul's trying to explain to the people in Colossae, listen, everybody from generations past was waiting for this. Okay, there was this mystery, God's mystery, the incarnation. People were waiting and waiting and waiting. And what you have to understand is that this is a special time because the mystery that was hidden from all these people for all these generations past has now been manifest. And God has chosen at this point in time in human history to make known the glory of this mystery, and that is Christ. Christ is our hope for glory. So trying to say to them, you have to understand, there are a lot of other people, but be present to this reality because God has been present with us in a very special way in Jesus Christ at this point in time. In the same way that God has been present to us and is still present with us in the church, the beautiful line that he says, the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church. The church is the body of Christ. And in this moment, he's reminding us again that Christ's presence, even though Christ had already ascended when he was writing these letters and when he was reminding these people about the gospel, even though Christ was no longer physically visible in his incarnate flesh, is that Christ is still physically available, physically present. Christ is still in the flesh, in the body of Christ, in the church, in one another. So we have to be present to Christ's presence, present to one another. And we show that through our hospitality, through our love, through our worship, through our mercy, through our stewardship. There are 100 ways that we show and acknowledge the fact that God is still with us, that God's presence is still here. In the gospel, this is a famous story. Jesus enters into the village, and we have the Martha and Mary situation. And as Martha's running around, scurrying around, taking care of all these other things in the house, Mary is just sitting at the feet of the Lord, listening to him speak and being present to him. Now, this is a great reminder for all of us. We can be physically present in the church. That doesn't necessarily mean we're emotionally present. It doesn't necessarily mean we're really listening. How often when you're sitting at Mass do you daydream about other things? How often when you walk in, you put your hands in the holy water, do you not give it a second thought about what you're really saying? Or when you genuflect before you go into the pew, how often are you really acknowledging Christ's presence in the tabernacle? How often when you go forward for communion, is it just because, hey, everyone's walking forward and now I receive Jesus? But how often are you really walking forward, preparing your heart to receive the Lord? God is constantly present to us in the sacraments, in the tabernacle, in the church, in the body of Christ, in the Word of God, in the priesthood of God, in one another. He's present in so many ways. And oftentimes, my brothers and my sisters, Mass is something we do. It's just something that you go do, but it isn't necessarily a place where we go and be in the presence of God. The Adoration Chapel this week, go and be in the presence of God. These readings, be in the presence of God. If you do that, you will realize that God is constantly present to you, constantly pouring out his presence to you, constantly available to you. And the more we become aware of that, the more we remember that, we will be able to be more constantly present and offer Christ's presence to other people. But it has to start with you and God. You can't offer other people Christ if you have not put yourself in a position to be present to Christ and allow him to be present to you and love you. May God bless you this week. The question, to be or not to be, the answer is yes. Go be. And after you've been with God, then go do.
This podcast is brought to you by your friends at lifeteen.com.